John chapter 4, starting at verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that say to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldn't have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. What a great story. Precious Lord, we like that woman. We need to cry out, give me this water that I thirst not. Father, thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What a wonderful story. And I'm not going to cover, we've covered this very popular story in the Bible. I want to look at seven things, and this is not the crust of the sermon, just seven things, because I really want to go somewhere else with this. But first of all, Jesus was a man, a Jewish man, speaking to a woman in public was something that Jews didn't do at this time. And beyond that, speaking to a Samaritan, which was Jews considered Samaritans, half-breeds. Okay? And there was animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. So he did something out of the, well, Jesus always did stuff out of the normal. Okay? He did whatever he wanted to do. And then the second thing, he talked about living water. Okay? Jesus was talking about a water that would quench our spiritual thirst forever. A water that would provide eternal life and salvation. A much needed water. I like that. I like the fact that the woman, when Jesus had explained to him who he was, she said, give me that. Give me that. See, we can explain to people who Jesus is, and we can explain to them about salvation, and we can tell them the wonders of eternal life and how it's promised to the believers, and they'll look at us like, yeah, keep that to yourself. You know, we'd be like the one guy when Paul was preaching, and he says, you know, much speaking have made you mad. Then he said, Paul, you almost made me a Christian. Okay, we got a lot of folks running around. A lot of almost Christians running around. Okay. So the next thing he's talking about, revelation of her life. Now he's going to show his omniscience. He's going to show that he's omniscient. He knows everything. And this is trying to get the woman's attention. This is a miracle. He tells the woman that he just met at the well. The woman never seen him before. And he tells all her business. Every bit of it. Okay? Jesus told her, go get your husband. Then he told her, you've been married a lot of times. And you're shacking up now. I remember coming up when preachers would get on folks about shacking up. They don't mention that stuff no more. They don't talk about shacking up no more. Jesus offered the woman the gift of living water to satisfy her spiritual thirst. And then, this is beyond what we're going to talk about today, but she asked him about worship. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. True worship. It doesn't matter where you at. A lot of folks say, you got the little 15 members over there. Y'all ain't having church. We not having church. Amen. We come here to worship.
Amen.
We come here to worship. It is a difference. We come here to worship. We didn't come here to play. We have a good time. I have a good time with you guys. But this is serious business. Serious business. All right. Here's where I got stuck. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever. Anytime I see whosoever, anytime I see a whosoever in the Bible, I immediately think of John 3:16. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But Jesus says here, and Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now he's talking about the water that's in the well. Okay? Now most of us in here drank something this morning. Coffee, pop, hopefully some water. But when we leave here today, that's not going to be the last time we drank anything. We're going to do some more drinking today. We're going to do a lot more drinking today because these bodies are made up predominantly of water, and it requires water to function. So you're going to thirst again. But he's using it in a different sense that you're going to drink all you want, but it's not going to satisfy your needs. And then that word drinketh, and I had to do some work on this, and I've thought about this word all the time, and I really just wanted to make a truth of it, make sure we understand what that word, the difference between that word drink and drinketh, okay? And when I found out, bear with me, it's called a simple presence in a verb tense. Okay, I'm not an English teacher. You know, folks get on me all the time, about my grammar and all that and the way I talk. And you can't put a sentence together. I'm fine with that. I know what I mean. Okay? But what a simple present means is it is something that's happening right now. Okay? It's something that's happening right now, or it's a, like Vaughn said, it's a habitual action. It's something that you do all the time. Let me give you some examples. Let me put it like this. I got Krina, I got Jake, and myself. I don't know nobody else. I don't know Lisa, I don't know her habits yet, but we drink coffee every day. Okay?
Amen.
Every day. We don't leave the house without a coffee cup in our hand. Okay? That is a simple present tense. Let me tell you else. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west every day. Okay? Most of us brush our teeth every day. Okay? Most of us should. Exercise at the gym at least 3 times a week. Now I got neighbors. It's the weirdest thing. I never seen it in the city. I'm not getting on you city folks. I've not seen it in the city. I've never seen a brother do it. Okay. I'm watching these folks in my neighborhood walk behind their dogs with green bags. That is the weirdest thing. They walking behind their dogs with green bags and little shovels. And every time the dog take a poop, they put in a green bag like it ain't nothing. It's what they do. It's habitual. Okay? It's the law. All right, let me give you some real Bible stuff. With that same word. Because you know, when the word of God says, whosoever believeth in me, it means something different. It means something different. That word believing means something different. Now, I know I tell y'all all the time. Listen, I'm not that preacher that's just going to put everybody in heaven. I don't have a heaven or hell. But let me tell you something. Your relationship with God has to be habitual. Amen. It has to be habitual. It has to be something that's regular in your life. Okay? Now I know some people say, well, what about the thief on the cross? And we got all these last minute confessions and all that stuff. That's all fine and good. Do your thing. Okay? I'm not going to teach that here. Okay? Amen. I already talked about Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So you know you're going to be judged. And I don't like pop quizzes. I don't want to sit here and wait till I die to say, I believe in Jesus. And then be judged on what I believe and don't know nothing when I stand before the Lord.
Amen.
James 4:17. Therefore, now watch this. To him that knoweth to do good. Okay? Now, anytime y'all hear me say with the E-T-H on the end, okay, that means it's a habitual action. Remember, it's something that you're doing today and something that you plan on doing till you take your last breath. Habitual. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. That means this person has been taught. This person has set under sound biblical teaching and knoweth to do good. Knoweth to do good. That means when you're doing something wrong, you know it's wrong. Because the Spirit of God said, you know you're wrong. Who? I'm not the only one that's been there. Okay? Now you know that was wrong. Okay? Amen. For therefore him that knoweth to do good. You've been brought up. You know right from wrong. And doeth it not. That means continue not to do it. The difference between do not, do it not, and doeth it not means, you know, you might have messed up one time. But to do it did not mean you have no regard for right and wrong. You just keep on doing it. Okay? To him it is sin. Let me give you this one. Well, there's a lot of these in the Bible. A lot of these simple present tense words in the Bible. Watch this. Mark 16:16. This is one of the good ones here. He that believeth. Okay? Mark 16:16. He that believeth, that means believe today, every day. Okay? That means he planning on believing tomorrow, next week. You know, I said last couple weeks ago, maybe last week. Listen, if you sit in here today and you believe that there's something that can happen in your life that can cause you to stop worshiping God, you better check that. Let a man examine himself. If you got that kind of faith, if you really believe, you know what? Something can happen so traumatic that it caused me. I didn't say stop coming to church. Okay? Because there's a lot of things that can happen to you to stop you from coming to church. Okay? Things that happened to Sister Claire that have stopped her from coming to church. If she was able to come, she'd be here.
Amen.
I'm not talking about that. Okay? I'm just saying, you know what? I don't believe no more. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? Now watch the end of Mark 16:16. But he that believeth not shall be damned. You never hear that in church anymore. Ain't nobody preaching that. That's scary. That'll cost you some members. Some money too. I had a buddy. Mick was here not long ago. And they asked him about a certain church and why he won't go there. And he said this. This is what he said. And I love that little dude, man. He is sound, Bible thumping, fire breathing preacher, you know. He said, it's not what they say, it's what they don't say.
Amen.
Y'all understand that? Okay. You can go to a church, they can say all the right things. They can say a lot of right things. But some things need to be said.
Amen.
Okay? Some things need to be said.
Amen.
When I was volunteering at Indian River, as a chaplain, you cover all the volunteers. So I had some Methodist folks come in. And these folks, if you ever meet anybody that's Methodist, they will never say hell. Okay? And I became buddies with the one guy that was leading it, and they would say everything but that. And sometimes people need to hear that. How do I know people need to hear it? Because Jesus talked about hell a lot.
Amen.
Okay, let me give you another one. I got a lot of these. Maybe I'll make a copy and bring it out Wednesday. Here we go. John 5:24. Jesus talking again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, put that my word in the back of your brain for a minute. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you believe the Bible, that ought to make you feel good. If you believe. Okay? If you believe. So, the woman at the well was asked a question. Was given some knowledge. I'll put it like that. Verse 14. I'm going to stick on verse 14. I'm going to let y'all eat some chicken and take some chicken home because it's a lot of chicken out there. I don't know what these people had a party. Maya went to a party for one of her friends, 10 o'clock in the morning, and the lady brought 500 pieces of chicken. And I think Karina brought home 100 pieces. So, you know, here we go. Verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. What kind of water are we talking about? Anybody ever go to the water spot at the store? You ever go to Sam's Club? I go to Sam's Club and look at the water. You got all kind of water. You got all kind of water. Flavored water. Carbonated water. Distilled water. Spring water. Coconut water. I hate coconut water. Bomb bought some coconut water here. That's nasty. Coconut water. Mineral water. Aquafina came out with unflavored water. Now, when I see unflavored water. See. Okay, Aquafina got unflavored water. Okay, I don't even know what that means. But what Jesus says. And the reason I give you all those different waters is because there's a whole lot of folks out there preaching stuff.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay? And Jesus is specific. Jesus is specific. He is saying to this woman, don't miss this. And y'all know how I like to really just beat a verse down. But Jesus is being specific. He said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. Okay? This water coming from Jesus. This water represents his grace and his mercy and his love and his kindness and his all the things that incorporate Jesus Christ is found in this water. And Jesus said, whosoever drinketh the water that I give, not the water that the Pope gives, and not the water that the Buddhists give, and not the water that Elijah gives, and Muhammad gives, and not the water that the Mormons give. They give us some water out. Okay? It's flavored water. Lemon water. All kind of, they adding all kind of stuff in it. But Jesus said, the water that I give, and only I can give it. Can't get it nowhere else. Jesus said, only water that I give is living water. Okay? It's loving. It's lasting. And you will never thirst again. And you come into, when you come into this water, it'll take away all that other stuff. So we all trying to find, but only God can give. Amen. And all kind of stuff. I talk to people, man, they are thirsting for happiness and they seek it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. I sit down and I tell people, you know, they say, what'd you do all weekend? I sat on the patio. That's weird. It ain't because I'm old. I've been doing that a long time. What you do all weekend? What do you think preachers do all weekend? So I can be a smart too. And what are you doing? What are you doing all weekend? What do you think I'm doing all weekend? Listen, I know people. I ain't getting on nobody. I'm not even gonna look at nobody when I say this. But there's people, say folks, that running around with their heads cut off, trying to do everything. Trying to find happiness. Just looking for it. I know people, you know, Dave and Buster's. Somebody said they're bringing the Dave and Buster's out here. You know, and it's expensive. Happiness is expensive. Okay? You go one of them bounce arounds? They ain't letting you in there for free. And the food ain't free. Pops ain't free. And you got to look hard for a water fountain, you know? And do they even have water fountains in them places? No, they don't even have a water fountain in there. You know, you be out bouncing all around. You know, Pop, I'm thirsty. And then Jake look over and see, oh, listen, so Pepsi costs $4.50. I need four Pepsis. No, man. Happiness is expensive. And Jesus said, you take this water I give you, your thirst will be quenched. And your thirst will be quenched. Listen. Amen. God puts his people in a place where they're not looking to the world for happiness.
Amen.
They find their happiness in the Lord. And this is what this God is offering this woman. He said, the water that I shall give you, you shall never thirst. How about that? Thought about it. What's it mean not to thirst? What is God saying? You shall never thirst. He said, he who drinks this will not wish to seek happiness and nothing else. Ask yourself, what makes you happy? Think about it. What makes you happy? And it ought to be, as children and people of God, it ought to be the happiest you ought to be. I'm no happier than when I'm here on Wednesday nights. That's a happy day. Amen. That's the highlight of my week. I was offered a job. I told y'all I was fighting. I was trying my best not to go out to the prison. It just wasn't in the cards. I told y'all earlier, I said, God has called me to go out to this prison, and I really didn't like it. And I was fighting myself not to go. I was trying to find any reason. And I got offered a job just last week at the hospital doing security. Good money. You know what he said? I said, I need Wednesday off. He said, I can't give you Wednesday off. Man, ain't for me. It ain't for me. What's my point? Okay. You should never thirst. You're going to have spiritual fulfillment. Everlasting life. That ought to make you happy. Amen. If you're sitting in here today and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, and folks dying, 250 people a day, 250,000 people are dying a day, and you sitting here or listening to me on sermon audio or Facebook, and you know you have no idea where you're going to spend all eternity, that ought to be a problem. That ought to be a problem. Okay? Because them two folks at that nightclub in Memphis that got killed last night, and when that guy is open fire, they okay? They weren't planning on going. They wasn't, hey, I'm going out tonight and I'm going to get killed and die, and I don't know where I'm going. Dying ain't cheap. It costs to die. Faith in Christ. He's offering this woman faith in Christ. He's offering this woman, like he's offering us, faith in Christ. It's true satisfaction. Every blood-bought believer believes that. They believe that. They believe that when the day that God called them out of darkness into his marvelous light was the greatest day of their life. One your wedding. One when you graduated from college. One when you got your promotion on your job. The greatest day in the believer's life. The greatest day in the believer's life. Bar none. Is the day when God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Or the day that you were saved. Verse 14. A little more. But whosoever drink of this water that I shall give him, coming from the Lord, shall never thirst. Never thirst for the things of the world. Never thirst for the things of the world. Not that we ought not enjoy ourselves down here. Not that we ought not have some nice things. But those nice things don't make us. Okay, those nice things, you know, you take them all away. Guess what? You still got. You still got the Lord.
Amen.
You still got the Lord. You should never thirst. He said, but the water that I shall give, this is a good part, shall be in him or her. It's going to be in him. What's Jesus saying? This water is stored in us like a well. It's like stored in us. When do we tap into it? Has anybody tapped into it this week?
Amen.
Has anybody tapped into that wellspring of water, which is called the Holy Spirit, that's in us, and say, you know what? I need strength.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going through. Lita, if you're listening, you know, you tap into that well of living water. It's in you. At your disposal. At your disposal. You know, you've been going through, you're like, listen, I'm getting ready to get on the road. I'm getting ready to get on the road. It's already been a rough morning, but I know the Lord's with me.
Amen.
People, I tell people all the time, you know what? You know, you're going to go through. You can't let your feelings control you. You got to let the Holy Spirit control you. You let your feelings control you, you're going to be all ziggity-boo. You're going to be everywhere. You're going to be everywhere. But if the Holy Spirit that's in you, if the Holy Spirit's in you, it's going to control you.
Amen.
It's going to control you. And it's going to let you know. It's going to let you know that it's in control. You're not going to be bossing the Holy Ghost around. Holy Ghost in you, it's going to let you know. This I found interesting. She talked about the well of water. And I don't know what comes to mind. When I'm studying the Word of God, well of water, I say, what's a well of water? Remember Abraham? He sent his servant out to find Isaac a wife. Okay? Y'all remember that story? It's in Genesis 24. So he sent his I forget the servant's name, but the servant that Abraham sent was a man of God. Okay? Wouldn't have no other way. And he sent him this servant out to find his son a wife. Okay? And in verse 24:10 of Genesis, it says, and the servant took 10 camels of his master and departed for all the goods his master were in his hands. He arose and went into Mesopotamia, into the city of Nahor. Okay. And he made the camels kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening. Even the time that women go out to draw water. Now, he's smart, huh? He's looking for a wife. You go where the wives hang out at, or potential wives hang out at. It was the job of the women to go to the well and get water for their families. That was the job of the wife at that time. And he said unto the Lord, sitting by the well with his 10 camels, God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass. Okay? Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down my pitcher, and I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give the camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master. Y'all want to know the end of the story? I'm not going to keep reading. Rebecca came. Okay. Rebecca came. How many camels did I say? 10. Now Rebecca came. Yeah, it'd be hard to find a wife like this today. Rebecca came. Stay with me, Margaret. Stay with me. So Rebecca came and gave the servant the drink. And then she watered 10 camels. Now my mind says, how many gallons of water can a camel drink at one setting? 30 gallons. So she said at that well. Now this is how God operates.
Yes, it does.
Okay? See, so the prayer of the servant was, show me a woman. Okay? 30 times 10. Any mathematicians in here? 300? 300 gallons of water she fed them camel. She went home a very wealthy woman. She went home a very wealthy woman. Let me share this one more point here, maybe two. Not only did God say about this water, not only shall it be a well of water, he said a well of water doing what? Y'all with me on the text? Springing up. Okay? Now, I was in a study of mood. The reason water springs up is not because the force that's coming below it makes it spring up. It's the force that's coming down on it makes it spring up. So in a spiritual sense, the reason why this water springs up in us, the Holy Spirit springs up in us, not because of us, it's because of God. It's because what God is doing in our lives, he calls this water to spring up in us. It's not stagnant. It's not stagnant. You know, you get some water and it's stagnant. The water that's in the believer, it is a beautiful, bubbly spring like a fountain. Y'all see it. I hope y'all see it in me sometime. Come out, and I'll just be so excited. I'll be so excited to teach and to preach and to share all these things that God has shown me during the week. And I know we have ball in here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, and I wish I could do it more. I love it. You know, it's springing up in you. You know what? We don't want to be stagnant.
Amen.
It's nothing worse than a stagnant Christian.
Amen.
Stagnant water stank. Okay? We have a lot of stagnant Christians. Okay? You don't want to be a stagnant Christian. I'm going to get stagnant because I don't want, like, you know, right now I'm going through. And, it, you know, no, nothing can cause the fountain that's in you to become stagnant. Okay? It says, a fountain that flows at all seasons. You know what that means? In the heat, in the cold, all circumstances of life. We know, we ever had heard the term fair weather? You got some fair weather Christians? Okay. They're only showing up. Every time they show up, they got on something new. You know, and what they're saying is they come to church or they come around. You know, Christians ought to love Christians. Okay? Christians ought to love Christians. That's why I always say, you know, when we come together as believers, we ought to love one another. It ought to be a loving thing. I mean, I know I talk about going in Columbus all the way. I ain't got nothing to talk to people. This is just foul. Foul mouth people. You know, you talk to people in law enforcement. You know, I had to, you know, I got in trouble down there. Because one of the instructors, once he found out I was a preacher and a chaplain, like I said, I was a makeup class for me, so I walked into a brand new class, and he wanted to just start throwing out preacher jokes. Like he knew me. Like he was saved. It wouldn't have mattered if it was Billy Graham teaching the class and he said, "Hey, chaplain, pray for us." But as soon as he see me, "Hey, we got a chaplain here, pray for us." Every time he cussed, "Sorry, chap." And he just did it over and over and over. And so I moved my seat just to get out of his eyesight. I moved my seat. And he looked over, hit me with two more preacher jokes, and I finally just told him, I said, "Look, man, I'm done with that.
Amen.
That's enough."
Amen.
And then he go tell the administrators. So they call me in the office. Like, "Well, you got an attitude problem?" I said, "I ain't got an attitude problem." I said, I ain't down here to have fun. This ain't a vacation for me. I ain't got my grandbabies and wife with me. And that's how you talk to them. I mean, I'm like, I ain't down here to have fun. This guy don't know me. He preacher jokes. And I said, "That's enough of that." And then, and that's how we have to be. I hear people all the time. They want to listen. You want to hear a Christian joke? I'll hear it from somebody that's Christian. If one of y'all send me something that I think is funny, some of y'all send me crazy stuff, and I'll send y'all some crazy stuff. But I don't want no crazy person sending me some crazy stuff. This is Krina. Krina sent me some crazy stuff. But we have to. Here's how I put it. If I was a Muslim chaplain, do you think that guy would have said anything to me?
No.
Do you think at any point that he would have said, "Pray to Allah for us"? No. No. So when I talked to the minister, I said, "Listen, that falls under a protected class, religion, gender, race, religion, age, all that." They just chill. Like, this. See? We got to stand.
Yes.
We got to stand.
Amen.
Nobody gonna show us no respect. And sometimes that water in us will spring up. It ain't always nice. We got this thing. We got to be nice all the time. We ain't Christianity ain't nice all the time.
Amen.
They weren't nice to Jesus. So I go back to the institution tomorrow and say, "How they treat you? How did they treat you down there?" I know they're going to ask me. They treat me like Jesus. That'd be my answer. They treat me like Jesus. Because they already knew I didn't want to go, and they knew I didn't have to go. But I went because I had to go. Okay? Last thing. Not by choice. All right, here's how Jesus closed this lesson with this woman. And in verse 15, after Jesus told this woman, verse 14, watch the woman's response. I'm going to go a little ahead. I'm going to let y'all go. Here, watch. The woman said unto him, verse 15, I'm ahead, one verse. "Give me this water." Okay? "Give me this water." She knew it. She knew she needed something. She knew she had a God-sized hole in her soul that only God could fill. And she knew she needed something. And Jesus knew she needed something. And Jesus went out his way to meet this woman. This is what makes this story so wonderful. Because Jesus came to her, introduced himself to her as Messiah, and told her the real gospel. And she said, give me this water that I thirst not. Let me tell you something. Now I talk about these people, all these mass shootings. I talk about this man that died yesterday, that set himself on fire outside of the courtroom of the Trump trials. Let me tell you something. He needs Jesus. All right? And you setting yourself on fire because you got a problem with whatever. You need the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, I don't know where he was at spiritually, but I can imagine you setting yourself on fire. It ain't something a believer gonna do. But I know there's some good preachers that say he in heaven now. I don't know. I don't know. Close, pastor. Watch this. Start at verse 14 again. But whosoever drink of this water, that I shall give, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not the Mormon church, not the Catholic church, that I shall give him, shall never thirst. Now that's coming from Jesus. Shall never thirst. But the water that I give, shall be in him. This water is in you as believers. And not only is it in you, it's a well of water springing up. And this is where it gets good. Because this should be the main reason why we do this. Okay? It springs up into everlasting life. Everlasting life. Not temporary. Okay? This ain't temporary. I got a well. Cindy and I got well water. I got a well. Guess what? It can shut down. I got to call these people. I got to put a new tank in. They got to put a new jets in. All that kind of stuff. No, not this one. Not this one. Not this well. It ain't never shutting down. Okay? It's never going to dry up. Okay? Train derailment. All them poor folks down East Liverpool, East Palestine, water all contaminated. Listen, that train derailment cannot contaminate this water that's in me. Can't. So, believe it. That's what he said to the woman. Whosoever drink it, keep drinking it. Yes. Drink it all you can do. You got these phones, drink it on your phone. Punch in the scripture. Listen, you know there's an app that you can punch in. I do it because I do it on my one job. It's just punch in 12 hours, warfare versus King James Version. And you punch that in and it just play warfare verses out of the Bible 12 hours straight. It'll never go off. Just have that running in your house. Have that running in your house. Keep all them demons out. That's right. So the woman, after finding about this everlasting life, everybody want everlasting life. Okay? The one rapper say, everybody want to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. See, don't want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. Okay, well, there's only one way to go. Somebody says, there's only one way to heaven. That's through the cemetery. Now they say there's only one way to heaven, that's through the crematory. The woman said unto him, sir, you gotta ask for this. Give me this water. Have you asked God to give you this water that's gonna take away my thirst for all this craziness in the world, that's going to give me a peace that passes all understanding? And I know some folks need peace. Amen. Now, you ever listen to somebody talk? Just the tone of their voice, just the stuff that's coming out of their mouth. This person needs peace. This person needs Jesus. And it may not be the time for you to talk to them about Jesus. Maybe they just, some people, you just so unraveled, so crazy. You just say, God, just give me another opportunity, because right now this person is not going to receive you. Okay? But pray for that person. Because there's people in this world that are confused and troubled. Yes. Trouble. Trouble. Mm-hmm. troubled. This woman was troubled. She wasn't at the well at 12 o'clock, the sixth hour of the day, because she wanted to be. Nobody was there. You know, in that culture, that was 12. That's high noon. That is the hottest time of day. She was purposely going there so she would not be disturbed, so she would not be mocked and ridiculed for having five husbands and living with a guy. She was there because she was shamed. And Jesus met her in her shame. Now, don't think we would have been right there at 12 o'clock too. Amen. Like, hurry up. It's hot out here. Y'all get my point? And when Jesus came to her and struck up a conversation with her, and she left that well saved.
Amen.
Saved. God is so special. Father God, in the name of Jesus, save lost souls. Use us. Use your people. Father God, we are more than equipped to tell someone about Jesus. It's simple. Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave. Father God, give us strength, courage, and wisdom. Pray for those that need a prayer. Father God, we pray for all those that are in need of prayer. We pray for churches. We pray for Christians who have been beaten down and are weak and troubled and confused. Father God, give them strength to stand boldly for the things of God in a fallen world. Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.